Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Our text for today is Matthew 18, 1 through 20, because I wanted to be merciful and not go for a long time. I didn't preach on the epistle lesson for today. Romans 13 was definitely a challenge not to preach on with all the insanity that's going on in our world right now. Dear friends in Christ, with the words of last week's gospel, Jesus speaking to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." Jesus dispels all fleshly desire for a crossless Christ and a crossless Christianity, and directs our minds and Peter's to the things of God. Today, Jesus corrects our fleshly desire to receive glory and honor in this life for being a Christian, be that as a clergy or a laity. He says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn," and I do want to make a point here real quick. In your English Bibles it says, "unless you turn," but the word in the Greek there is strephet. It is to be turned. It's a passive. It's an aorist passive. And in the passive voice, it should be "are turned," not just "turned." Because you see, it puts the emphasis on the wrong thing, thinking you can do the turning instead of God doing the turning, as we confess in the third article of the Apostles' Creed, "I cannot of my own reason or strength believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him." This is a very important distinction we need to make as Christians. And so, unless we are turned and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Through faith, we confess our sins. We humbly stand before our Heavenly Father as His dear children, washed and adopted in the waters of holy baptism, clothed with His righteousness, and welcomed and fed at His table. We are declared by God's grace through faith to be heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Out of this declared holy family, God calls men. Calls men to serve in the holy office of the ministry as pastors, under shepherds, to protect and to stand in the stead, in His stead, declaring and applying on His behalf His law and gospel for His children. The purpose of this work is that sinners like you and me are turned from our sinful way of life, which brings only death, to a life-giving faith that clings to Jesus Christ and Him alone. For those who are prayerfully considering God's call to this holy office, and I pray some of you, if not many of you men, are prayerfully considering and thinking about it, be advised. There will be sheep entrusted to your care who will look you in the eyes and knowingly and willingly choose hell by rejecting Jesus and His words that you must bring to them, choosing instead whatever makes them feel special. There will be sheep who will desire to attack the shepherd Jesus by attacking the one who stands in His stead. These sheep will break your heart, hurt your feelings, and cause you many sleepless nights. Yet it is those lost sheep that the under shepherds, the pastors, are called to seek out and rejoice when they return. Dear flock, know this. There will be fellow under shepherds who will direct you, the flock, to the shallow, muddy waters of "it works for me and it makes them feel good. It keeps us looking to the world as if we are on the cutting edge of modern culture." There will be times when the under shepherds and the flock will feel completely abandoned and alone. But know this, you are not. Jesus has given you His word. "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And on that, we can rest assured. So welcome to the church. the visible and invisible church. The church that holds the office of the keys, forgiving repentant and withholding forgiveness from those who do not repent. This is the church Jesus is talking about. If he refuses to listen to the church, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Now the struggle comes there is that often we believe that means I've washed my hands of them, I'm done. Now I can shun them. That's not how Christians deal with sinners. We continue to try to bring them the gospel, to bring them to repentance. So Jesus continues, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If you expected anything different, I pray the truth has killed your theology of glory. In the church, we are all called to work with sinners just like ourselves. Oh, sure, their sins may look different than our sins, yet, as we confess today, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We confess our sins in thought, word, and deed. The Lord knows. Lord knows I tried my very best not to go into the office of the holy ministry. I don't doubt that Pastor Rafa had a similar experience. I used every excuse I could think of. Because nobody goes to hell for rejecting the words of a computer programmer, a doctor, a teacher, or a lawyer. And I know that many people view being part of the church the same way. It hinders our fleshly wants and desires as the truth of God's word gets in the way of us getting along with everybody and being accepted by our culture. As Christians, though, we are in the world, but must not be of the world. And yet Luther said, he who wants a perfect church wants no church at all. That's the reality of living this side of heaven with the visible church. Our fleshly nature wants absolutely nothing to do with Jesus or his church, just like Peter last week had no desire for Jesus to die, for suffering, for putting things to death. That's our mind on things of man, not the things of God. However, no Christian can live by appeasing their sinful nature. All that gives is death. Our hearts, our feelings, and our emotions are sinful and unclean from conception. So Jesus tells us we must become like little children. Not that little children are without sin, because we are, as already stated, from conception sinful and unclean. But there we are directed back to our baptism, where we are claimed by our Heavenly Father as His children. There the fleshly sinful nature is drowned, and the new child in Christ arises each day. The good shepherd tells his under-shepherds and the flock the simple work of the church. Go therefore into all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things I have commanded you. And so the work is to go, tell, instruct, baptize, forgive, feed, serve, marry, bury, comfort, love, and repeat. We've been called to serve our neighbor faithfully, be it as a pastor or a parishioner. This is such humbling work. Think about it. If the Lord blesses Pilgrim with numeric growth, we can't take any of the credit, even if we are intentional in our outreach. Even if we go so far as to bring a friend or a stranger to church with us, it is God who provides the increase. When the sheep stray or seek another flock, perhaps even one that feeds them less nutritious but easier to digest food, and this happens, don't say I didn't warn you. But you must remember what Jesus said. You've heard me say this before. Never trust a pastor, and I'm going to apply this also to the church. Never trust a pastor or a church that everyone speaks well of. Oh, sir. Jesus didn't say it quite that bluntly, did he? He said, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so their fathers did the false prophets." And in Revelation, we hear the angel, the Lord, here saying, "I know your works are neither cold nor hot. Would that they were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Right? This is a rather interesting illustration that St. John has given here about the church at Laodicea, because one of the unique features of that church and that community is the people always groused about their water. The water that came from the hot springs had to travel such a long distance that by the time it got to them, it was lukewarm. The water that had to travel from their cold springs for drinking, by the time it got to them, was lukewarm, and all they did was bellyache about it. And here God is telling them they are that water. That very thing that they loathe. Because they have not done anything. Just know, when this happens, it might be a hostile reaction to the truth of God's word when somebody wanders off. And if that's the case, God help them to repent. Or it could be that we've done something either intentionally or unintentionally that became a stumbling block to them. And at those moments, the weight of our own sin will be overwhelming. Or as Jesus said, better to have a millstone. "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Whatever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better to him have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for temptation to sin, for it is necessary that temptation come, but woe be to the one by whom that temptation comes. At these times, all we can do is go to our brother and sister who we have offended and seek forgiveness, following the procedures laid out in our gospel. This too serves in seeking the lost sheep." Now you might be saying to yourself then, if all this can happen and will happen in the church, why would I ever want to be a pastor or a member? Why would I want to go through it? How can it possibly be worth such a headache? Yet the answer is, without doubt, without a second thought, it is most definitely worth it by the grace of God. It is worth it. For we are granted the privilege, we sinner saint pastors and sinner saint laity, we are called to serve God and our neighbor. And we have the privilege of seeing that the good news is brought, the good news of Jesus' life, suffering, death, and resurrection for all people, to all people, with the call to be faithful, which is the only way to be successful in God's church. We are to bring the gospel to all the lost sheep, offering them the gifts of God so that they may become like all of God's people, little children, and declared the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. As they are given eternal life and will come to be with all of God's children in the unending celebration at the marriage feast of the Lamb, which knows no end. So heed the voice of faith, not the voice of your flesh, and go and tell and instruct and baptize and forgive and feed and serve and marry and bury and comfort and love, and then repeat. As we all serve God's children and all of God's children, for our sins are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. For where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is among them. We have his word on it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.